Okay. I had a, among the very many interesting experiences that we had in Lithuania, in Vilna, I stood at the printing house of the Almanava Achim Ram in Vilna, which is a huge building. It's, today it's an apartment building, but it's like a huge, it's like a, almost like a whole block, 3-4 stories, brick building.
It's a crane on top of this.
Yeah, but so when I went, like, why do they have such a big building? Like, you look at, let's say, Korain, they have a suite of offices because everything was in the building, and it's when a printing house meant you had
everything was there.
You had the in other words, the top floor where the was the administrative offices. The second floor was the marketing and sales, and everything else was
printing presses.
The printing presses and the binding machines and the
storage.
And the storehouses and the
machines are much larger than they were.
The machines were much larger. So, but it was an oddly, it's like a strange thing. You go on these trips, and you go to places, and sometimes you go someplace, and you say, you see this building. This building doesn't mean anything. But before there was this building, there was a different building. And in that building was this yeshiva, or lived that rav, or what have you. And sometimes you go and you see...
This is the same building?
It's the same building, yeah. It's the same building. Now, the printing press of the widow Ram, her name was Devora. For a long time, I think people, they didn't know her name. Her name was Devora Ram. It was a multi-generation business. So when her husband, David Ram, was the main partner together with his brothers, he died rather young. And quite unusually, she made this decision that she was going to take over, and she was an extremely savvy businesswoman. And it's a real... The Achim Ram are not her sons. It's her brothers-in-law, who she basically bought out. And it's like this fascinating parasha of like the intersection of not art and commerce, but Torah and commerce. Like the idea of like which books to publish. They're most famous, of course, for the Vilna Shas, which became the definitive Shas. But there were thousands and thousands and thousands of other titles that they published in all variety of books. It was very interesting. Okay. The Gemara earlier had brought this brisa about Bal Ta'achir. Right? In other words, the Posuk says... Lo ta'acher l'shalmo, right? You can't delay paying up the neder. You have to pay l'Hashem Elokecha. And the Gemara, you remember? Anybody have that chart here? Pass me that chart. Right now, there's kitidur neder l'Hashem Elokecha lo ta'acher l'shalmo. So the Gemara, our Gemara here on Amud Aleph, had learned out from, it is each of those words is the source of a different like aspect of the, it is, there's a mitzvah asay to pay up your nedarim, and there's a mitzvah lo tasay of bal ta'achir, of not delaying. And where each type of thing that's included in Bal Ta'achir. So, Kashir Nadarta is for a neder, and Lashem Elokecha is Chataot Vashamot Olot Ushlamim. Nidavar Nidavot, Asher Dibarta are Kodshe Bedek Abayit, and Beficha is Tztaka, etc. So the Gemara learns from Lashem Elokecha that Baal Ta'akhir applies to this list of Karban Chatat and Asham and Ola and Shlamim. But the Gemara earlier on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, you remember Dalet Amud Aleph? Sure, yeah, look in your notebook. There's another Braisa which lists also an Isser of Baal Ta'akhir for Bechor, you know, when you have a firstborn animal, for Maaser Behema, when in the new herd, the new flock, new herd, that's born every year, so you know how it's done, right? In other words, you take all the animals that were born in that season, and you pass them through the barn door, and every 10th one that comes out gets marked as Maaser Behema, and Korban Pesach. So why does our Braisa, Batei Avon, Lama?
Is that mitzvah?
Lama
yasiu masechet?
Im hayasiu masechet, hayinu ochlim steak.
Yasiu masechet is a steak in the pargiot.
Pargiot? Lenashim.
That's not even red meat.
No, the pargiot is for you because there's an eat red meat.
So why does our Bryce, why does the Bryce on Davov not mention Bechor and Maaser Behema and Korban Pesach? So in our Bryce,
what would be the inyan of Baal Ta'akhir on Korban Pesach?
Ah, so that was exactly what the Gemara there had asked. Okay. The Gemara there, well, hold on a second. The Gemara says that the second Braisa discusses the case of Amar Velo Afrish. The person promises to bring a Korban, but he doesn't designate the specific Korban. He doesn't say this animal. That can only exist in this category of items. The Chatas, the Asham, the Ola, and the Shlamim. Right? A person can say, I make an edit to bring a Chatas. But he doesn't choose the animal. He may not even have an animal at that moment.
It can't happen with the other ones, because it can't happen with a Bechor.
But a Bechor, like you said, a Bechor becomes Kadosh when?
Before it's born.
Before it's born, or when it comes out, right? Maaser Behema, as it walks through the what do you call that thing?
Barn door.
Well, the barn door, or the
corral.
You okay?
The what? The corral. Yeah. So therefore, the Braisa doesn't mention the Bechor or Maaser, because they don't fit in the case of Amar Velo Afrish, because it can't be. And that Bryce is talking about that case. So what about Korban Pesach? So there's two possible reasons. Earlier on Daf Hey, the first Bryce which mentions the Korban Pesach mentions it only because it mentions Bechor and Maaser Behema. And there's this kind of grouping that the three of them are often mentioned together. So Agav to Bechor and Maaser Behema, it mentions the Korban Pesach. And in our case, since it can't mention Bechor or Korban Pesach, because those are cases that are not relevant to the situation of Amar Velo Afrish, so it also omits Korban Pesach. But there's another possibility that, remember what we said when the Braisa mentions Korban Pesach. So what's your question? How can you have Baal Ta'akhir or Korban Pesach if you don't bring in a Pesach? There's no three regalim. No, so not Pesach Sheni, but right. In other words, what's called Shalmei Pesach. Shalmei Pesach is you have a little Chad Gadya, which you got to bring for your Korban Pesach, and it runs away. Why would it run away?
Because it knows what's going on.
No, doesn't it want to be the Korban? Doesn't it know that the best, the most gavaldic thing it could do is to be sacrificed for the Korban Pesach? Right, I guess so. So the goat listens to its Yetzirah and it runs away instead of wanting to do the mitzvah. And then afterwards you find it. So now you have to bring it as what's called Shalmei Pesach, as a Shlamim. But it's not the Korban Pesach. How long do you have to bring that? Like any other Korban. Right?
Do you actually give him two korbanot?
No.
You have to give one for Pesach anyway.
Yeah, so when you lose your goat on Erev Pesach,
you have to replace it, so but the original goat is still Kadosh.
The original goat is still Kadosh, and if you find it, so then it has to be... And in that case, why doesn't Omar Velo Afrish apply? Yeah, because by definition, once you find it, this was the korban that was designated as the korban pesach. Okay.
What happens if you already took a second korban for pesach?
Yeah.
You still give two because both
no,
are Kaddish.
No, you can't though.
Right, but you just give one because it's a Hegdesh and the other one because it's Korban Pesach.
You'll be able to give it to somebody else who needs a Korban Pesach.
I don't know. Could you sell it? Let's say you're expecting a lot of people for Leila Seder. So you buy a very big animal. Because you have to have a kazayas for everyone. And then everybody cancels, it turns out they go into the machatanim. It happens. So now you don't need such a big animal, and you can't find it's late on Erev Pesach. You can't find anyone else to be part of your chabura.
Can you swap your korban?
You don't get along with your machatan.
So can you say
to somebody, look, I have this big korban, I'll give it to you, and you have a small one, you'll give it to me, right? I think you can do that. So if you find that korban beforehand, if you find somebody that wants it, you can sell it to them. I think. Okay, we're going to
sign with any korban.
Yeah. No, I hope it's true. In other words, if I makdish an animal, I have to bring that animal.
Right, but if we just swap it, like for whatever reason, if you can swap it for the Pesach, you swap it for anyone.
No, but here you can't swap it. And that's Tmura. That's what they're learning now in the Daf Yomi. You can swap it, but you have to. I don't know.
Because if you say this korban is for me, then it's for you. But if it's just this is a korban, but it's not for me, it could be for anybody. Then swap it.
Stupid question. Since when do you wear glasses?
I wanted to fit in with everybody else. No. So I can read the Rashi's and but there is a way that you can say, okay, I'm going to give. There is a way that you can say, right, like I'm supposed to give this animal as a korban, but I live really, really, really far away from the base of the touch. So I'm going to sell the korban and take the money, and then when I get there, buy an animal and makdish that.
Yeah, but why would you do that? In other words, instead of saying I'm bringing this animal as a korban, you should say I'm going to bring a korban. And when you get to Yerushalayim, you buy a korban, you buy an animal. What you're talking about is you can be pod, you have this idea of pidyon, you can do it, but you have to add to the value, and it's...
That's
for
20%.
Yeah, but that's better than saying, okay, I'm going to take this korban with me, and I live in Ramat Golan after all the shrine, and his name suggests he's going to break his leg on the way, then I'm out two animals.
Your son's going to Yerushalayim and say, listen, you do me a favor, take this animal, you bring it. I'm not going to Yerushalayim.
It'd be my shaliach. You can do that. Why can't you do that?
It's like.
And we skip one. Vav Amud Al Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Speaking of Bechor, what's all that yellow highlighting? That's from now or from?
No, it's from. From let's see, Sean is probably about 5 years ago.
Oh.
Or 12 years ago.
Yeah, so. 5 years, and if you don't remember whether it's 5 years ago or 12 years ago.
Apart from 5 and apart from 12.
I see. So you see, three answers. The Gemara says, Iboilahu.
What type of thing?
Vav Amud Beis. Towards the bottom, Iboilahu.
Okay.
What? What's Iboilahu?
Question him.
Yeah, what kind of question?
Point of information.
What?
Point of information.
Point of information. Excellent. It's an information question. Yiboy Elohu, Bechor, Me'ematai Monin Lo Shana. For a Bechor, you have a year to bring it, otherwise you're over on Bal Tacher. But from what point do we count, from when do we start counting the year? Abaye Amar Mishash Nolad. What's the Svara of Mishash Nolad? Because it becomes a Bechor from when it's born. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Mishash Shenira Lahartza'a. From the moment that it is fitting to be brought as a sacrifice. When is that? The eighth day. Now, why the eighth day? You know something about the eighth day.
Yeah.
Is there a connection here?
Must be.
Well, right, in other words, yeah, okay, that's the pasuk, but why miyom hashmini?
Before that is not viable.
Before that is not viable, meaning?
You might die still.
Yeah, so the Chazal have this idea that a newborn animal, a newborn baby, is very vulnerable. And God forbid, we know that the mortality rates of, like the further away you get from the point of birth, the more viable you are considered to be. Even though, Baruch Hashem, child mortality is way, 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 way down over what it was even just 100 years ago in the Western world, in Kal Vachomer in antiquity. But there was a sense that, that's why Chazal have this very strange idea. So there are milestones, like after the 8th day, after the 30th day. That's why you have this kind of strange idea that, God forbid, parents lose a child after a couple of weeks. So there's no Shiva before 30 days.
Because of Pidyon HaBen.
No, so in other words, Pidyon HaBen is also connected. And it's like a
that's
chicken.
That's why you don't say Pidyon HaBen
earlier. It's a chicken and egg, right. So in other words, until 30 days, you were never 100% certain the kid was going to make it. So there was no... So maybe, and it's why 30 days? Why is the Pidyon HaBen on 30 days? Because that's what the Torah says. Why is the Korban brought on the 8th day? Because that's what the Torah says. Why is the Bris Milah on the 8th day? Because that's what the Torah says. But you can say, maybe the reason the Torah chooses these dates, the 8th day, the 30th day, is because, or Chazal choose the 30th day in the case of Shiva, is because this kind of like sense that before the 8th day it's not viable, because maybe it was born with a, if a child died, the child died in the first week, God forbid. So what was the sense? Like the sense was that there was some kind of mum, that the child was born with some birth defect. I mean, they didn't speak this language, but they understood that, sometimes there are birth defects that aren't necessarily visible to the eye. And if a child dies within 2, 3, 4, 5 days, that's a simon that probably they had something. So the same thing with an animal. You can't sacrifice it before the 8th day, because before the 8th day, it's suffix. Maybe it was, in other words, it hasn't yet proven itself that it's not a balmum. After eight days, you already kind of have a chazaka that mistam, it's not a balmum. I mean, assuming that there's no visible mum. So, since you can't bring it before the 8th day anyway, maybe the year for Baal Ta'acher only starts counting from the 8th day. And it's a nafkamin of a week between Rav Acha Bar Yaakov and Abaye. Right? What? No. Well, so you're giving an answer, right? But Mistama, that's not the... In other words, since the earliest day you could have brought it is the 8th day, so the year for the purposes of right? Of Baal Tacher, right? In other words, like if we say, like, you make a neder, right? You want to make a neder for a korban todah. Let's say something good happens. Let's say you have a grandson. So you make a neder. I'm gonna make a korban todah. So how long do you have? You have a year. You have a year from when?
From when you make the neder.
From when you make the neder. Ah, but you didn't make the neder on the day the kid was born, right? Maybe you only made the neder the first time you saw him, or maybe you only made the neder. I don't know. At some point where you decided, hey, I should do this, right? So we could say lemafreya. No, start counting from when the kid is born, because that was the goreim of why you made the neder. No, the neder is you have from the time. So, say that you could make a korban todah whenever you want.
I'm saying, so if you say lemafreya from the time you were born, then you've already passed the
bal. Okay, so obviously in that case you can't. It's not shaykh to say that you're over on bal ta'achir the moment you make the neder, right? But in a case of you make it, let's say at the bris, right? Like you can imagine, like the saba getting up at the bris. Did the saba say a few words at the bris?
No.
But you can imagine a saba getting up at a bris and saying, "And I'm no there to bring a korban todah." What? So that would be the similar nafkamin. It's on the eighth day. So the Gemara says, "Velo pligi," but there's no machlokus between the two. Ha betam, vaha bevalmum. When Rav Acha bar Yaakov said you have to bring it from the time it's born. No, I'm sorry. Vaha batam, Rav Yaakov bar Abba, I'm sorry, Rav Yaakov bar Acha, I'm sorry, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Amar Mishash Shinira Laharza, from the eighth day. So that's talking about. No, it must be that's Abaye. That's Abaye. Abaye says it's with a tam. What?
Abaye is the Balmum.
Abaye is the Balmum. Hold on. So Abaye says from the time that it's born. Ah, no, correct. Okay. Abaye says, Mishashin Olad, that's in a case of a Balmum. What happens with a Bechor that's a Mum? Not a Mum that causes it to die. But a Mum, the animal is born and there's something wrong, one of the legs is shorter than the other.
It's sold and eaten.
It's no.
It's Matnat Kuna.
Right? But you still have to bring it to Beit HaMikdash. It's still because it just can't be offered as a sacrifice.
Right.
Right? So then, at what point were you obligated to bring it as a Matana?
Within a year.
From the time it's born. The animal is born. You see it on the first hour. You see it's a balmum. You know it's not going as a korban. So the year starts ticking from the moment it's born. Right? Because the eighth day is not shayach here. But Rav Yaakov bar Acha, who says from the eighth day, that's talking about a tam. Right? So there's no machlokas, inherent machlokas. Right? They're talking about two different cases. So the Gemara says, Balmum mi matzi achile dekim le be shekalo lo chadashav. Right, Rashi says biyom shenolad dilma nafal hava ve'ein shchita mitaharto ad shiyish esh mona yamim teshuv nafik le mechlal nefil. Right, so in other words, Normally, when the animal right. In other words, like, do you know? In other words,
until it passes the eighth day, you don't know.
Right.
If it was not, you don't know that it was not a nephil.
Right, so the Gemara says, so an animal with a mum.
You already know immediately that it's his situation, but a normal one without a mum, you don't know the situation until the eighth day.
Right, so why do you have to wait till the eighth day? So the Gemara speculates the reason you have to wait for the eighth day is because maybe it's not going to make it to the eighth day. And lemafreya,
it
will have been
a bamum. When it makes it to the eighth day, lemafreya, you'll know that it was.
So maybe we know, shekalu lo chadashav. In other words, what's the fear? that the animal was born prematurely. And if it's born prematurely, then we're afraid that it's a nephil, meaning it's a dead man walking. Right? It's not going to make it. It's a balmum. But what if you know? What if you know? No, but what if you know in a case, in all cases, you have to wait till the eighth day. Right? In all cases, you have to wait till the eighth day. But if you know that, why do you have to wait till the eighth day in all cases? Because that's what the Torah says. But if you know that kalu lo chadashav, you know that it was a full-term baby, right? How would you know that? Because animal husbandry, right? You know that it's a full-term baby, full-term animal. So then, really, Taka, when does it become a bachor? From the moment it's born. And it's just a technicality. The Torah doesn't want it before the eighth day. But the obligation to bring it begins from the moment it's born, even though there's this week-long grace period. So in that case, maybe, Taka, you have a year from the moment it's born, even if it's not a Baal Mum. Okay.
So if it's that type of animal that you can't bring because of some moon.
So there's two answers here in the Gemara.
No, wait, one second. So in that case, you still have the year to bring it to the Kohen, or is there no limitation there?
So that's the machlokas. Whether you have a year from so in a case where you have a mum, you have a year from its birth.
And you have to bring it to the kohen, even though it's not a korban.
You have to bring it to Beit
HaMikdash.
It's not a kor. It's still a bechor.
Right.
It just has this psul that doesn't allow you to sacrifice it, but it's kadosh me'elav. Right. It still has kedushat bechor. But on a technicality, it can't be offered as. So now the Gemara changes tracks. This is Tanu Rabbanan, bechad ben Nisan. This is a brisa. Tanu Rabbanan, bechad ben Nisan, Rosh Hashanah lechadashim uleiburin uletrumat shkalim v'yesh omrim af leschirot batim. It's a brisa which is obviously somehow parallel to the first Mishnah. Right? Remember the first Mishnah. Arba Rosh Hashanah hein bechad benisan Rosh Hashanah lamlachim v'leragalim bechad be'elu bechad benisan Rosh Hashanah lamlachim v'leragalim. Right, that's the Mishnah in terms of Nisan. So the Braisa here says bechad benisan Rosh Hashanah lachodashim v'leiburin. Right, Rosh Hashanah lachodashim meaning what?
The
first month is Nisan.
Nisan.
Iburin, that we do ibur shana. From Nisan, right? Not only that. When you have to add a month for leap year, the month that gets added is
Adar.
The
month before Nisan.
The month before Nisan, but that even is when by the time of the Mishnah, they already had like a sense of which years were going to be Ibur Shana. Right? And it's like we know years in advance when the leap years are. But the declaration that the Sanhedrin would have to do, right? Only the Sanhedrin can make a leap year. That official declaration can only be done once Nisan arrives. If you do it a year before, like the way that we do, right? We look in the calendar to see what's happening next year. When's Pesach going to be next year? Right? Whether Pesach's later or early, whether it's a leap year or not a leap year. Right? So that's irrelevant for the purposes of officially declaring something in Ibur Shana. In the times that Chazal had control over the calendar. And that could only be done for that year from Nisan on. It can't be done more than a year in advance.
Kiddush Chodesh for that year. So they either say it's going to be Nisan or it's going to be other Bet at that point.
Right. Letrumat Shkalim, right? The budget of the Beit HaMikdash, where everyone had to bring a chatzis shekel, was from Nisan to Nisan. V'yesh omrim af l'schirat batim. What does that mean? It means that rent contracts all would come up at the same time. This was something that this is like strange to us now, right? Like anybody in a rental?
Yeah.
When is your contract up?
My contract was in a month's time.
Right, but in other words, it's usually you enter the apartment on December 2nd. It goes until the next December 2nd, right? Or if it's a 2-year rent,
it's usually
a
school holiday.
Whatever it is, whenever you move into the apartment, it's usually for a year from whenever you move in. So Chazal had the idea that all rentals expired on.
Makes sense.
On Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
There are certain times where the year is where people start talking about rental plans.
Right, but in other words, regardless of when, it could be you enter the apartment in Shvat, your first year rental, like the same way that you enter the kingship, whenever you enter the kingship, but the first year ends, right? There's a set date. This might have had to do with the way that the government controlled rental taxes and other things. Like it was neater and cleaner that everybody's contract came up at the same time. And this apparently was a custom even in the early modern period in Europe. Right? Rents came up at the same time, and if you were a renter, that meant around Rosh Chodesh Nisan or whatever the...
All the renters...
Right, in other words, like in Eastern Europe, it could be that it was April 1st or whatever the date was. I'm not sure if that's correct, but let's say that it was something like that. There'd be this big kind of turnover of... Like the way that we have it de facto. People tend...
July, August.
Particularly people with children, right, tend to move from apartment to apartment in the summer. Because you move to a new... Because you want your kid to start school in September. So over the summer, every day, there's moving trucks, you know, on the block, and there's new neighbors coming in and old neighbors going out. And there's a natural turnover. So this was the case that Rosh Chodesh Nisan would be that date.
I have a side question.
Yeah.
Is this only for houses, or this also for fields?
It says batim. It says batim. It's impossible to imagine it was for fields. Because on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the field is still full of... Right, in other words... a rental for a field would have had to have been, you know, in the fall.
Right.
In the period after you've harvested that year's wheat or whatever it is that you're growing. And if it's a...
But if you're saying that you're doing this for the sake of taxes...
Right, no, but it wouldn't be practical. How would anybody take a rental like that? In other words... Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I would have already planted everything in the field.
And give it to somebody else.
Right, and now the landlord's going to take it. No. So the Gemara asks...
Well, you rent the land, but you don't rent... You rent
say there,
the
but
land,
in other words,
trees are still
it still it has to be... Minalan, so what's the source for the idea that that Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for Chodeshim? Isn't that a pretty good proof? Except, what's the problem with that pasuk? No, it doesn't have to be the year. We're looking. How do you know that Nisan is the first month? So, what's the problem with this pasuk as the proof text? It doesn't tell. We assume that it's talking about Nisan, but doesn't specify. Wouldn't have been better if the pasuk had said
Nisan.
Achodesh Nisan.
The name Nisan only came much, much later.
Okay, that's a problem. So they could have called it Chodesh Aviv. Right? They could have said the Chodesh that Pesach is in. They could have whatever. It's pretty clear it's talking about Pesach. V'chtiv shemor et ha-chodesh aviv. Ezu chodesh sheyesh bo aviv. What month is the chodesh aviv? Now, what does the word aviv mean? We call it spring, but why is Aviv called spring?
Where's David?
David, it's a test. You have, it's now 9:14 on Tuesday night. We're going to test to see how long it's going to take you to send us the Balashon link that explains that Aviv means something like ripening, right? It's the month in which the wheat ripens. So Have Omer Zeh Nisan. So say that's Nisan. V'kore Le Rishon. Right? In other words, Chodesh Aviv, the month in which the wheat ripens, is called the first month. And we know that happens when?
Spring.
No, in Nisan. Right? V'ema Iyar. So, but couldn't that also be Iyar? So, V'ena Aviv V'leka. No, we need when it is ripening, and the wheat is not ripening in Iyar, it is
ripe.
Already ripe. Right? You see, Rashi says, Boina Aviv Valeka, Shekfar Nigmara Minisan, Ve'i'ika Zara Afilu, Enze Bachir Ela Afil. Right? In other words, the wheat that would be coming up at that time is already the, not going to be the good wheat. So, Ve'ema Adar. So maybe it's. Maybe it's Adar. No, but in a rove Aviv Valeka. So it's true that in Adar, some of the wheat is already beginning to ripen, but it's not the majority of the wheat. So Mide rove Aviv Ktiv Ela Amar. Right? So as we need it, it's the month in which.
Does this fit in with reality, though, the Limudim?
I don't know. You'd have to ask a farmer.
No, even given whatever times they are, the fact is that the lunar year, as opposed to the solar year, varies from one year to the next by a month.
No, not by a whole month.
Almost a whole month.
Yeah.
Where's Tom?
When you make a Shnat Ibur, it's 28 days later than the year earlier.
So you look at.
But if one year most of the crops ripened in what was Nisan in a Shnat Ibur. Then it wouldn't be the same most of the crops that ripen, because the crops ripen vis-a-vis the solar year. And that's a month off. So making the limud between Adar and Nisan, it doesn't fit. I don't think. Okay.
El Omar Rav Chizda Mehocha. So in other words, we need a different source that Nisan is. And it's ultimately the Gemara rejects this, so your question is not. Okay. Question is good, but it's not necessary. So Omar of Chizda, Mehacha, Ach b'chamisha asar. This is a poskim v'ikra. Ach b'chamisha asar yom lechodesh hashvi'i bas b'chemet tfuat ha'aretz. We're going to reverse engineer it. When is the chodesh asif? The seventh month. What's the when do we taka do the asif? Tishrei. Ezu chodesh yesh bo asifa have uzar ze tishrei.
So the question, because you only call chodesh shvi'i because we define Nisan as being chodesh rishon.
No, beseder. But if you know that tishrei is the seventh,
why do you know tishrei is the seventh? Because Nisan is rishon.
Beseder, but the Torah calls it the seventh.
Right.
So count backwards.
Same question. Maybe it's Cheshvan.
Yafeh. Okay, you're off the hook. You had a bris this morning. Even you probably had a lechaim at the bris, no?
Yeah.
A gewalt. I mean, I wouldn't say we have to question whether the bris was official, but if you had prepared ahead, you would see that's precisely what the Gemara. What the Gemara asks. Umay Shvi, hold on, the Kakarele Shvi, the Eima Mar Cheshvan. But maybe the month in which we do the Asif is Cheshvan. In which case, what would be the first month? Iyar.
Iyar.
Umay Shvi, Shvi, the Iyar. Boina Asif Veleka. No, except we don't do most of the Asif in Cheshvan, we do most of it in Tishrei. Ve'ema Elul. So maybe it's the month before. Umay Shvi, Shvi la'Adar. And then the first month would be Adar. Boinan Rov Asif Veleka. No, but it has to be the month where the bulk of the harvesting takes place. And even though sometimes you harvest a little bit in Elul, maybe if it's a late Elul, the bulk of the But the asif is still in tishrei.
I'll be stubborn and still ask the same question. Because if it happens the same time every year, 1 year it can be El, and next year it can be in Tishrei, because there's a difference of a full month between them.
Right.
But the Gemara is going to give another reason afterwards. So I'm not
right.
Gonna
no, but except like it could be that the schedule, the harvesting schedule, was connected to
the lunar calendar.
Was connected to the lunar calendar.
I would tend to think that the harvesting schedule would be based on when the crops are ready.
Yeah, except it wasn't always the case. Like, you would hire workers to come. You would hire workers to come at a certain date. The dates were the lunar dates. It's not that you have to harvest everything. Like, it's not like you go out and you say, oh, harvest day. Right? So these are big things. You need to be planned in advance. And it's not that the wheat has to be harvested today or you lose it all. You have a window of opportunity.
Okay. I'm missing a point here. It says in the Pasuk, right? So it's only really 1 month of the entire year that we do this.
Right.
So why is there all this argument? If there's only 1 month that we do this and the court...
Because maybe that month was Adar, or maybe that month was...
No, except we don't bring the Korban Pesach in Adar or Yer. We bring it in Nisan.
Why do we bring it in Nisan? Because of this right. Pasuk that says that you bring it on the 15th of the first month. But if the first month turned out to be Iyar... Right.
In other words, it's a hypothetical discussion.
Yeah.
Because we know the result. We know that Pesach is in Nisan, and we know that the Torah calls the month in which Pesach is Chodesh HaRishon, right? So it's a theoretical discussion. It's like a way of like reverse thinking about the whole thing, right? It also has to do with this fact that the names that Chazal were using are not the names that are used in the Torah, at least in the Chumash, right? Those names come later, as the Gemara will now quote. Ela Omar Ravina, davar ze mitorat Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamadnu. We don't learn this in the Torah. Midivrei Kabbalah lamadnu. We learned it from the Navi. And there's a pasuk in Zechariah. Biyom esrim v'arba la'ashtei asar. Chodesh, when is that?
Chodesh Shvat.
So what's the 11th month? It's Shvat. If Shvat is the 11th month, what's the first month?
Nisan.
Rabbi Bar Ula Amar Mehocha, v'tilkach Esther el Hamelach Achashverosh el Beit Malchuto b'Chodesh Asiri hu Chodesh Tevet. If Tevet is the 10th month, then the first month is Nisan. Rav Kahana Amar Mehocha b'Arba'ach l'Chodesh Atshi'i b'Kislev. Right. So if Kislev is the 9th month, then the 12th month, then the first month is Nisan. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Mehocha. V'kru'u sofrei ha-melech beit ahi b'chodesh ha-shlishi hu chodesh Sivan. So if Sivan's the third, then Nisan is the first. Rav Ashi amar mehocha, hipil pur hu agora lifnei haman, miyom liyom, mechodesh lechodesh, nei masar hu chodesh Adar. If Adar is the 12th, then Nisan is the first. V'i boyis eima, and if you want, I will say... Mehocha, b'chodesh, it's also a posuk in Esther, b'chodesh ha-rishon hu... Chodesh Nisan, you buried the lead. Like, what's the best pasuk to show that? Like, of this all one. The pasukim in all of Tanakh, what's the best pasuk to prove?
This one.
Why? Because it has the two things we need. It has Nisan, and it has
Rishon. But how did they know it was Rishon until then?
No, because there was the... In other words, it's this search for this proof text. What's the? How do they know? Because they know. Because you know when you do Pesach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Do you need to... My kids, they never learned the names of the English months. It's like something in school. It never stuck. So if I tell my kids, we're going away on August 13th, they say, Matai ze? Is a chodesh. So I say it's Hashmini. So they know Hashmini. They know like this month, the first month of the summer is Shvi'i, and the second month of the summer is Shmini.
Those are the important ones.
Right? but they don't know. Would you please take these away from me? How do I come back? But how do they? But no, so you don't need to know the month. They know the month that you go have summer vacation. They knew the month that they had Pesach, right? And what difference does it make what it's called, right? And they knew that that month, the month that they do Pesach, is for the purposes of counting the months, Rishon, right? So the Gemara says, so that's like this pasuk, the pasuk in Esther, b'chodesh harishon u'chodesh nisan v'chulu mai. So what do you need this whole Megillah for? What do you need all these pasuk, all these limudim for? Here's the showstopper. My timer. So why did we bring all these other pasuk? Why didn't they just bring this pasuk? Dilma mai rishon lemilte. No. Because when the Pasuk says, Bechodesh HaRishon Hu Chodesh Nisan, what does it mean, when they say Chodesh HaRishon, in our Braisa, in our Mishnah, when it says that Nisan is the Rishon lit, this, that, and the other thing, right? So in
the first of the year.
In Esther,
we're going to be referring to the first from the poor.
From the poor. Right? And maybe it's not the first from... And as when I say to you, what's the first month of the year? If I say to you, listen guys, it's the first month of the year, let's be serious. So what month am I talking about? It could be September. If I'm a school teacher standing up in front of my class, it could be September. And Adarabbah, we often think of September as the first month of the year for the purposes, certainly people that in any way have a connection to like the school, the year beginning with the back to school, right? So maybe when the Megillat Esther, they say it's the first month of the important part in our story, which is the poor. So maybe it's not a good limb. That's why we brought all these other psukim. V'tana didan b'shanim kemayrei, b'chodeshim lo kemayrei. So the Gemara says now, but okay. So this brisa, we're just talking about months. Why isn't this not when our Mishnah lists Arba Rosh Hashanahim? Why doesn't it mention this halacha about the first month? Because what's the theme of our Mishnah? Years. Right, and this is a halacha about
months.
About months, so it's apples and oranges. Okay, next week there's no shir, unless you want to come to the Golan.
No, this is better. This, I know which ones I have to wash.